This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from BFM 89.9. I'm Meera Sivasudhi. Now, after 8 years on the air, we're bringing the Bigger Pictures Health and Living to you, live, on the ground. A whole day with the experts, debunking myths behind heart disease and diabetes, addressing our love affair with food. Of course, George will be there talking about sperm. So join us at BFM's Health and Living Live 2016 on Saturday, 2nd of April. Go on and register at bfm.my/health.
This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. Yesterday, I got a call from the marketing office of the Malaysian Philharmonic Orchestra confirming a request to interview Conrad Tau, this weekend's featured solo pianist. At a little before 4 p.m., I was in one of the corporate suites just off the main auditorium and not backstage because the orchestra was still with the conductor, Carlos Kalmer, and that it would be quieter without rehearsal music insinuating itself into the interview. Not that I would have minded. The lanky 22-year-old Conrad Tau, with a neatly trimmed beard, came dressed in long-sleeved black T-shirt and black slim-fit jeans, his feet in a pair of black sandals. Everything about him exuded youthfulness and vigor. I wondered what he thought about being so young, so possessed of a densely packed and successful career, that music must have come to him as were a divine gift, and everything musical is easy, magical.
It doesn't feel that way to me. I mean, on the one hand, it doesn't feel that way to me just because this is the life I've always known. I mean, I started really young. I started playing by myself a little before I turned two, and so I can't remember a time in my life when I wasn't at least able to communicate through this particular language. But even though it's music, it's a very specific musical language. I mean, it's not some, you know, music. I think a lot of people like to pretend that music is this completely universal thing, but in fact, it's very specific. You know, it's highly specific, and I just was exposed to it. I happened to be exposed to it at a really early age. It doesn't feel like this magical thing. I mean, partially because I'm not invested in that narrative. For me, it's much more interesting to sort of use what I'm able to do, use my skill set to just explore things. I mean, for me, the process of music making and the journey of music making is really about asking more questions. So the whole conversation of it being this magical, beautiful thing, I feel very lucky that I get to do this. But aside from that, you know, it's just kind of, it's been my life.
But Conrad, as a mid-teen, served as a composer in residence with a company made up of adult professional musicians. How did that shape his view of his place in the world?
Well, I think my parents at first, in the very early days, were a little confused and a little afraid. My mother likes to talk about how she didn't even really know what the word prodigy meant until I came along and some people started using the word. But I mean, that's the thing. In a weird way, you know, my mother likes to say, I don't even know if this is totally true, but my mother likes to say that when she first heard the word, she looked it up and found the programming language before anything else. And I don't really know if that's true, but I feel like that's an illustrative example of sort of how I was brought up. I mean, my parents just tried to make healthy decisions. And so, you know, me growing up, it felt much less like it was about me being a particular way or being particularly special. And it was more about just making sure I found people who were able to guide me and help me out. And I mean, that's the other thing. It's funny how normal things can feel when you start them like early enough and when you're guided through them in a comforting and natural way. I mean, I started working young too. I started working when I was about 11 or 12. You know, if you're starting working that young, you are just constantly surrounded by people who are like 20 years older at least, you know, often 30, 40. When you're that young and that's just the life you know, so long as you don't have someone telling you, hey, this is really weird and unusual and, you know, in either a positive or negative direction, if you just kind of understand it's your reality, you know, I think, I don't know, it never did feel that strange. I will say I did always know it was particular reality. I mean, I think one of the things I'm most grateful to my parents for is being able to grow up with the knowledge that I had a skill set and I had a interest and I had all of these things that were maybe unusual, certainly very specific to me, so probably not shared with, you know, other people in my classes and stuff like that. So I grew up with that understanding so that I wouldn't grow up thinking all of my feelings were universal and all of my interests were universal. But I also grew up basically feeling like, yeah, but that's just what you do. I mean, it's not – it doesn't make you particularly any one way more or less than anyone else. I mean, I feel very lucky that I was able to grow up with that framework.
Can you imagine a life not being a musician?
No, for exactly those reasons, because it's been my entire life and it's just – I could tell you maybe if I had to pick different career paths, like, oh, I would – if I wasn't being a professional musician, I might love trying to be a writer or being – but it would always be an artist in some capacity. And it's kind of a chicken or egg question because all of those answers, all of these alternate lives that I could imagine myself having – they're all influenced by having been a musician and having been a creative person for basically my entire life.
Well, I watch your pieces of me discussion of music and trying to explain music to lay people like us. You seem to be quite media savvy.
Oh, well, I'm just a product of my generation, really. The reason I started doing those videos is I just wanted to be able to have some stuff out there that maybe communicated how I am as a person, how I see music and how I interact with music on like an intellectual level and on an affective level. I love talking shop. I love talking like granular technicalities, but to a certain extent, that's not the core necessarily. I think, and I'm an idea driven person, so talking about stuff in that video form seems like a nice way of extrapolating.
Conrad plays a broad range of composers and music. Who or what is his favorite?
Well, I think this is the one aspect of my life and career as a musician that I'm very happy to attribute to my age. It's funny. I mean, you mentioned earlier that, you know, you look at my bio and chronologically it's actually a short period of time. And it's just there's a lot of stuff that's happened in a short period of time. But, you know, it's my entire life, so it doesn't feel short. I find myself often in this strange space where I feel like I've been working for a very long time, and I've been working for about 10 years. But I also now, especially weirdly enough, as I get older, I become more aware of how young I am, because, you know, now I'm an adult and now I'm really more in the context of the larger industry. I don't think I get pigeonholed as a prodigy anymore because, you know, I think we're beyond that. And so as I get older, I realize, oh, wow, I have so much time ahead of me. And it's a wonderful feeling because it makes me feel like there's just so much more territory to explore, and it makes me feel able to explore all of that. So a lot of the times right now, I embrace trying to play a wide variety of repertoire because I think it makes you a better musician. I in a weird way, it's still about, you know, expanding my frame of reference. I mean, that extends to things beyond music. I mean, it extends to just trying to maintain a really wide perspective and a diverse perspective.
What do you want your music to do?
I want my music, well, I think I'm going to rephrase that question for myself because that's a tough question to answer. The question I'd ask is like, for me, is just what are my goals? I think that my main goal when I perform is to communicate clearly, you know, to communicate something. I want my music, I want my performances to make people think and to make people maybe hear something they didn't expect to hear. I mean, in this performance, I mean, I'm playing the Szymanowski Fourth Symphony, which is not, I don't think, the most frequently played piece. It's not even your traditional concerto. It's structured like a traditional concerto. It's three movements, but it's also nominally a symphony. So it's in this liminal space between a symphony and a concerto, and some of the virtuosity of the concerto form is present, but some of it is a little bit more muted. And so that, you know, so I think my goal this time around is just to sort of bring people into the world of that piece and to really communicate the flamboyance of the piece, the lushness of the piece, the sort of emotional terrain. But I don't know. I want people to feel engaged, and that's vague. That's very vague. But I think because my goal is to communicate, that's that's – I'm trying to pull just an active relationship out of my listeners. Like I want a conversation to happen. Like I love it because I'm doing a recital Sunday. Yes, on Sunday afternoon. And I'm doing a program that kind of culls from a wide variety of stuff, and there's a lot of contemporary work on there. And that's something I'm very passionate about. And I love it when audience members actually come up to me and maybe say they didn't like something, or they weren't necessarily into this one thing. A, because when they come up and tell it to me, usually that means they're comfortable telling it to me. And it makes me feel happy because it makes me feel like maybe I've done my job in the sense that I've communicated that I'm open to that conversation. I mean, that's what I'm really after.
With classical music, many of us sometimes walk away saying to ourselves, I don't get it. I don't get it.
Well, I think that's the job. I think that the job is to really, really communicate clearly. I mean, that's weirdly enough gets at sort of the idea behind some of those videos too, you know, where I'm talking about music. It's just, how can I communicate the ideas? Because I also consider myself a, I don't want to say a good communicator, but at least, you know, maybe a clear one to a certain extent. I mean, I'm very careful about the words I use. I think that is the job of the performer, is to communicate what a piece is about. And it can be personal. It can be very, very specific. It can be your perspective on what this piece is about. But there still needs to be an idea. I think that's something that guides me a lot, is like you start from an idea. You start from some conception of what you're doing. And I think at a certain point you have to have some faith that if you have an idea and if it's a strong enough idea and you have worked hard on how to realize it, at some point you assume that some communication will happen. I mean, it's never a guarantee. I think so long as you accept that that is to an extent the reality of the space and the reality of the interaction between performer and audience, then you've acknowledged perhaps the limitations and you've acknowledged the possible failure. And then actually for me, like once you've acknowledged the possible failure, it's a lot easier to actually get stuff done.
Talk to us about this piece that you're playing Friday and Saturday.
Well, for me, the Szymanowski 4 is pretty defined by a certain elegance and flamboyance and lushness. It's gorgeously orchestrated. And I think for me, that's where the distinction between symphony and concerto comes into play, because the orchestra plays as much of a starring role in this piece as the solo pianist. And it's just some of the most gorgeous orchestration I've come across. And there will be moments when I'm really just part of the ensemble. You're not going to be able to hear me necessarily. And that becomes part of the idea of the work. And what one thing I love, and I used to be a violinist as well, a professional violinist, and the only thing I miss about that life is playing in orchestras. And so this is a piece where I feel like I at times become kind of subsumed into the orchestra, and that's a thrill for me. I love that. I like the way that this piece allows the piano to float in and out of the foreground. For me, this piece is very theatrical, maybe even filmic, cinematic. It's fabulous. It's really, really, it has this wonderful over-the-top flamboyant quality, and for me, a lot of playing the piece is embracing that.
Thank you very much. Conrad Tao, who is the featured pianist this Friday and Saturday with the Malaysian Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Carlos Kalmer, Friday and Saturday at 8:30 p.m. and tickets are priced from 60 to 150 ringgit. On Sunday, April 3rd at 3 p.m, he will present a recital of a repertoire which includes works by Lang, Bach, Rachmaninoff and Mussorgsky. Tickets are priced at 50 ringgit and 70 ringgit. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you.
You're still here. Good. Now, if you're listening to this podcast while on the treadmill, you're already off to a good start. If you're not, don't forget to join us at BFM's Health and Living Live 2016 on the 2nd of April. Find out how you can live a better, healthier life. Go on and register at bfm.my/health.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.